We have seen previously that there is kind of a strong reaction against people who have seemed to be spreading COVID, doing the wrong thing around COVID or isolations. What kind of implications does it have for individuals like Lachlan who are kind of being persecuted in the public eye?
It's very worrying, not only for those individuals, but also for the trust that we have as a public in contact tracing, Sean. It is so important when a person is a close contact and is involved in contact tracing, whether or not they actually have COVID-19, that they are able to really trust that they can speak to the contact tracers, that they can tell them everything, that they can tell them stuff that they wouldn't tell their mother, that they wouldn't tell, you know, that they can be totally honest, and that they're not going to be in some way sort of held up for public ridicule. So it's really problematic that this is happening for our trust in the system, as well as for those poor individuals who get blamed and shamed, often for stuff they didn't actually do.
Yeah, it's almost like going to a doctor's appointment itself. You expect anything you tell a doctor to be confidential. You don't expect it sort of to be held up in tomorrow's newspaper.
Absolutely. And I think that we have a lot to learn from HIV about this, about the absolute importance of keeping that kind of, dare I say, kind of sacred contract of confidentiality. Of course, it's important that some information goes out to the public, the information about risk, you know, about the risk venues and so forth. But we've seen a really kind of almost pornographic desire for people to spot somebody apparently doing the wrong thing, or even to laugh at, you know, the kind that we saw this in Melbourne a little while ago, when someone had, you know, been to a number of different venues and you had all these commentators kind of almost writing little comic pieces about how many Kmart a particular person had visited on a weekend. And it's like, it's not respectful. These people are giving their private information to contact tracers for the good of the community. They're actually doing the right thing, and we shouldn't be holding them up for ridicule. And we should be, this apparent desire to see wrongdoing in people who've contracted COVID-19 is really quite scary, because this is not the first time it's happened. I don't know if you recall, in 2020, there was a group of healthcare workers in Tasmania, and the rumour went out that they had also had a party. And you know what? They hadn't. But somehow that got into the media, and it kind of ran. And it really damages the reputations of the people involved. And it also kind of sets up this weird dynamic that somehow people who contract COVID-19 are bad or doing the wrong thing. And let's face it, nearly everybody who contracts COVID-19 in Australia is doing the right thing, they're doing their job, and they have not been protected adequately with adequate work health and safety things in their work, or somehow the chain of infection comes from somebody who was infected at work, in a hospital, in a healthcare setting, or in hotel quarantine, you know, doing their bit for keeping the community safe. And I think that's what we've got to try to recognise a little bit more.
In cases like this one, obviously Queensland Health were very quick to contact media outlets and alert authorities of this particular case that was misrepresented later. Is there time for more investigation to make sure things are kind of correct before alerting those services? Or is there a time constraint given the fast-spreading nature of COVID-19?
I think what we have to keep in mind, Sean, is that it's really important to communicate the risk really fast. So if we have particular venues and so forth that needs to go out into the public, that needs to go out, and that needs to go out straight away. What doesn't need to go out straight away is some kind of sensationalist story about how these places came to be risk sites. So I'm saying there's nothing wrong with them. You need to immediately get out into the public, who needs to, if you've been in a particular place that you need to get testing or that you need to isolate, that stuff is absolutely urgent that it gets out as fast as possible. But if there's an idea that there's some kind of nasty story behind how infections happened, There is no reason why that nasty story needs to get out without reflection, without really, really careful checking. And arguably, whether it actually needs to get out at all. I mean, one of the things that these kinds of stories do is that they start to perpetuate a kind of culture of blaming people who get COVID-19. And let's face it, most of the people who get COVID-19 in Australia have been part of a chain of infection that has started in workplaces. So they are workers doing their jobs who have not been adequately protected by health and safety interventions around COVID. And so many of the chains of infection have come from there, from healthcare workers, doctors, hospitals and hotel quarantine. So there's no kind of bad behaviour that's happened there. It's just people not being properly protected. So why does the media, you know, want to run these stories about apparent bad behaviour? Because this is not the first time we've seen it. We also saw it with a cluster of healthcare workers in Tasmania. And again, the story went out that they'd had a party. And apparently that wasn't true. But so somehow there is a kind of prurient interest in this idea of people getting COVID-19 because they're behaving badly. And usually upon examination, it's not true. And where people have maybe behaved in not, you know, the most risk-averse way that they could have, it's usually been because of socioeconomic circumstances, such as people having to work two jobs in order to make a decent income. So I guess what I'm saying, in short, is we need to be really, really careful about these kinds of horror stories of the irresponsible person who is somehow putting the community at risk, because it's almost never true. And even in circumstances where it might be true, whose interests does that kind of story serve? We've got to remember that the big interest is keeping the community safe, and that is done by getting out that basic information about where risk sites are, where you might be a close contact, and the circumstances under which you need to absolutely prioritise testing and possible isolation.
Well, couldn't agree more. Bridget, thank you very much. Do appreciate you joining us on this one this morning.
Great to talk to you, Sean. Thank you very much.